good to be here today, and we're thankful for your presence. I pray that you will receive a blessing from being here today. And I hope and pray that this lesson that I bring in this morning will be beneficial to you and helpful in your life and your walk with Jesus Christ. Recently, George saw on a bumper sticker that it was about a website, said uncomplainingworld.com. Now, I don't know with you, but I don't know if such a place exists, an uncomplaining world. Complaining seems to be something that all people do. It's prevalent amongst people, the human beings. You know, we complain about our work, we complain about the spouse, we complain about the government, we complain about our brothers, our neighbors. We complain about the rain. People are complainers. You know, we try real hard on our job to find a job that we like, and we got a job, and we work hard to get that job, and no sooner we got it than we complain about it. We're complaining about it. Usually the boss, you know. Someone goes like this, someone asks you, how was work today? Well, the same old grind. I just don't know how much longer I'll be able to put up with this. They keep just giving me more to do and less pay, and they just keep passing me over. Always got something to complain about. God wants us to honor our bosses. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters and with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. You know, when we hire out for somebody, we are a hired servant. And so that verse will apply to us on our job. You know, we got to show proper respect to our bosses, whether they be good and gentle or they be forward. We complain about that wife or that husband. You know, sometimes the people that we hardly even know or don't like, we complain about them. But you know, we look around and find a mate, and we fell in love, and we thought, well, this is a perfect one, and we get married, and a few years, what are we doing? We complaining about our marriage and about our spouse. Ephesians 5:33, God says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You see, God wants us to honor our spouses. He doesn't want us to be complaining about them. And then we complain about the government, you know, they take my hard-earned tax money and they give it away. And then us complaining about the government, they don't give us enough. But there's always somebody got something to say about anybody that's in office, the president or whoever, you know, the governor. There's always somebody to complain about. But Jesus, he paid his taxes. He said, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's. He didn't complain about his taxes. And God said that he ordained the government and that to give honor to whom honor and to custom to whom custom. And God went on further to say not to speak evil of dignitaries. So we need to be careful about how we complain about people and offices of high places. And we complain about the neighbors, you know, how they run their lives. They don't live like we do. Those people are kind of weird, you know. They're kind of strange. They differ from us. Well, God said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, God doesn't want us to be complaining about people because people are people. They're going to be people. We complain about our brothers and sisters in God, in the Christ, in the church, and we complain about our faithful brothers and sisters, you know. And the Bible says clearly, which will take care of a lot of this, do unto others as you have them do unto you. We complain about the cold. We complain about the heat. It happens every summer, it happens every winter. We complain about the rain, then when it gets dry, we complain about being too dry. These things belong to God. Would we complain about God? I think some people would, because they're complainers. You know, complain about how God doesn't answer our prayers the way he wants to, or he doesn't bless us, or he blesses us. You know, we just find something to complain about. Romans 9:15 says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We're going to read verse 19. Here, verse 19, it says, Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? And he's complaining about God, you know. He's complaining that how can God find fault? Because he created us, and we're made this way, you know. And then it says, For who has resisted his will? But verse 20 says, But O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? You know, who are we to question anything that God does? And he goes on and says, Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That he might make known the riches of his glory of the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Even us, who they are called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. How can we complain about God? Why should we even think to complain about the things that God does? God is so far above us, his thoughts and high ways are so far above our ways. And so, you know, we got to think about that. Do you gripe and complain? What about your life? You know, let's put it personal. Let's not put it on the neighbor, the guy next door, the fella over there. Let's talk about ourselves. Do you gripe and complain about the things that are not the way you want it in your life? Or are you discouraged because it seems that things just aren't working out the way you want them to? Does it ruin your day? It's something you have planned and really look forward to suddenly fell through. Do little irritants nag at you until they cause your attitude to sour and the joy of life, your life, is taken away? Do extra unplanned urgent things or hassles get you all stirred up and make you like a bear just growl at everybody and everything and walk about like a roaring lion seeking who you may devour? You know, if any of these things sound familiar, then surely this sermon's for you. Christians have the greatest reasons in the world to be content and satisfied with their lives. You know, God gave His Son for us to give us eternal life. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Discontentment, griping, whining, bellyaching, murmuring, and all these things are actually sinful because they're against God. What if we didn't complain? What if we lived in a satisfied content all the time? What if we lived that way and lived in a world that way, you know? What kind of world would this be? It would be a world of Christians. Living Christian lives. Let me tell you about, I read this about two frogs, a fell in a pail of milk. It's an old thing, you may have heard it before. But two frogs fell in a pail of milk, and one of them just, oh, how terrible, can't get out of this, and he just sat there and crowed. The other one started kicking. And he kicked and kicked and kicked, trying to get out. Next morning, found one frog sitting on the butter that was made, and he was out of the milk. You know, we make a choice in life how we're going to look at things. We can look at the containers and we say, well, that's half full, or you say it's half empty. And every one of us can look at our life that way. My life is so full or so empty. It's a matter of perspective of what you're looking at and what your attitude of your heart is. I want you to look at an example of some murmurers and complainers. Turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. I guess the children of Israel are prime examples of complainers. But sure, they had a rough way. They left Egypt where they had houses and beds to sleep on and went out into the wilderness following Moses going to the promised land. And it was hard. Sure it was. And they began to complain. They had been without water. They had journeyed out from from Egypt, they went out a 3 days journey, and there they were hungry or thirsty for water. And we're going to start in Exodus 15 in verse 23. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. It says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, before the name of it was called Marah. They come from some bad water. And they were thirsty because they're out in the wilderness or desert. And they've been 3 days without any water. So they were thirsty. But then they complained. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. See, he tested them. And that's what it was all about. They were tested. Because they were thirsty. And a little while later, they were thirsty again. And they complained against God and against Moses and said they wish they'd been over in Egypt and died in Egypt. And God told Moses, you know, to take his rod and strike the rock. But they complained about the food. They brought them out there to starve. We ain't got nothing to eat. So God gave them manna in the morning to go out and pick up the bread. All they had to do was pick it up. But they'd eat it all. But after a while, they complained about that. They were complaining about all they had to eat was this manna. So God gave them meat at night. He said quails would fly into the flock, into their camps, and all they had to do was gather the quail. After a while, they complained about the quail. Well, all we got is this old quail to eat. So God had a wind of them blow fish in the camp, and they had fish to eat. And all this happened, and many more miracles which they saw. But yet, when they come to the promised land, they looked over there, and all they could see was the giants, and they murmured and complained. Why did you bring us out here, Moses, to be killed by those folks? We must just go back to Egypt. They were ready to return back to Egypt. They'd rather they die in Egypt than have to go in and fight those giants. But there were two men there that were not complainers. They looked at the giants, but they also saw God, Joshua and Caleb. And they realized they could go in. So we learn something here that people who are complainers, all the time complaining, they're looking at the problems and they're looking at the troubles, and they don't see God, they just see the troubles. The others, they just saw the giants. They didn't see God. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. God hates murmuring. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. God is not pleased with people who murmur and complain. 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, he says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him with the sword of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed the destroyer. To murmur and to complain is to tempt God. And then we look at some people who did not complain in some very difficult situations. I want you to consider the Apostle Paul. All the apostles were pretty much this way, but I want you to see in his life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin reading verse 23. It says, and they, ministers of Christ, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes of the major, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. That describes Apostle Paul his life. He says, of 5 times we see that 40 stripes say one. Someone come beat up on you, and will you be complaining with them? Paul's not complaining. He's telling them about his faith and the things that's happened to him. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck in a night, and a day have I been in the deep. and journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of, in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness. You know, sometimes we think we have a rough life. Julius Apostle Paul's life. I just want you to think about him. Here he is, a Pharisee. He is in the royal court. His life, his livelihood comes from this office he has as a Pharisee. He's paid from the tithes and collections that they, and he lives off of that. And he's going around punishing those that fall in Christ, protecting his religion, protecting what he believed in all his life and been taught all his life. And when he learns about Jesus Christ, now you see a man changed. Before, he's trying to punish and throw people in prison. Afterward, he wants to hurt no one. He wants only to preach Jesus Christ. And then he suffers all these things. Everything he once had is now lost. His livelihood is gone. He goes around making tents with his hands, trying to make a living and preaching Jesus Christ. He suffers many things wherever he goes because of what he's talking about and preaching. He says in verse 28, he says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must meet glory, I will glory in the things concerning my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor under Archas, the king, kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison, desired to apprehend me. And through a window and the blanket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And in one incident, we read about in Acts that Paul and was in prison. And as they sat in his prison, they were singing praises to God. And so you see a man who doesn't complain. He just simply goes out and does what God has called him to do. And he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and through all the sufferings that he has to go through. Paul didn't gripe and complain. Notice in Philippians chapter 4 what Paul said about him. The Philippians 4. This is the key, I think, to the whole thing. The Philippians 4 and verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Don't you know that Paul learned that? It's not something that's just naturally. We're born human beings naturally complainers. The wealthiest, the richest, they complain. It don't matter how well off or how poor you are, people complain because that's people. That's the natural way people are. But we have to learn to be content in whatever state that we find ourselves in. He says in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You see, there's how he does it. He just learned to be content with the things about him, and he's realized that he can do it all through Christ that strengthens him. Verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." So these people sent some assistance to Paul. But he's explaining that he's learned to do without and to do with and whatever life brings, he's learned to be satisfied in that condition. Whatever it is, he knows that it's up to God. It is God that delivers, it is God that blesses, it is God that can remove the conflicts and the problems. And so he's realized that. He's learned that. He learned to be content. As it says in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So why would not a Christian be satisfied? Why would Christians want to complain and gripe? Why would they have to do that? I think number one is that They forgot that they belong to God. They forgot that it all belongs to God. And that God has promised to design all things for our good. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God." You see, we need to not forget that we belong to God. And God is able to do all things. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good them that love the Lord and call according to purpose. See, I think this was the problem with the children of Israel when they went to look at the promised land. They forgot that they belonged to God and that God could deliver that into their hands. It didn't matter how big the giants were. You see, they were too busy looking at the giants for the problems and troubles, and they didn't see God. They forgot that God was involved. Second reason Christians complain, because they forget that God would test them. Some things happen to us to test and try our faith, like He was proving them over there in their front. If they would come to that water and they were thirsty at Marah, they were proven, they were tested to see what kind of faith they had. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. But as those strange things happen unto you, but rejoice in as much as you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." You know, don't think it's strange that we're going to be tried and tested. There's going to be problems. We're going to be tried as in fire. We need to realize that, and don't complain and gripe about those situations. Because what we need to do is realize and look for what it is God wants us to learn out of this. What is it that God wants us to see? And realize that we deserve our punishment. Because we are sinners and we've all sinned. And we deserve whatever we get from God. We deserve that. And many times God is trying to teach us a lesson. But realize, don't complain and gripe, but look for what God wants us to see out there. Look for how God wants us to grow out there, that we may do His will. And if it's God's will that we suffer or die, then so be it. We need to live and be satisfied with our lives. And don't complain. Don't complain, you're actually complaining against God. Reason number three, I think that Christians complain and gripe, is that they have a covetous heart. They have a heart that is covetous and desires of this world. Hebrews 13:5, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. But he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So we need to realize that God is not going to leave us or forsake us. And we just need to quit being so desirous of these things He hasn't given to us. That we covet those things. And we become complainers and gripers, belly achers. Your heart should be filled with thanksgiving and gratefulness instead of covetousness. 1 Timothy 5:18, he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And you know, in our world in which I live, and most of all of us live, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, just go across the ocean somewhere. Just look at the hunger and starvation that people go through. Look at young men in battle where they're fighting, conflict, shooting, and killing every night. We have so much to be thankful for. And we have so little to gripe about. And avoid the sin of self-pity. Some people that want to have to be pitied, we need to avoid that. And if we realize God is God and He's able and He does deliver, then we steer clear of self-pity. But rather be servants of God and of others, not of ourselves. Romans 12:1, it said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What about your heart this morning? What about your life today? You know, is there any need for prayer? If you need to have the church pray for you? Do you realize in your life today that you need to be baptized in Christ? We're going to give you the opportunity to do that this morning as we stand and sing.